Sister Lisa. I kind of jumped the gun there for just a moment, but I'm glad she sang that song. And I thought as she was singing it about the last part of Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Now, I cannot begin to describe whenever that we think about heaven, we think about the one who made it possible that we could say that I'm prepared and ready to go. And as Brother Ron read, I know my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Kind of pardon me for mentioning personal things, but when my middle son was saved, it was a wonderful altar service. And he got up and just kind of pressed towards me. And I thought, oh my goodness, he's going to want candy and I don't have any. But he said, Dad, I know I'm saved. And I said, how do you know? He said, I saw Jordan Cofer's name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know, that's one of the most precious things that a person can know beyond the shadow of a doubt, that they've been saved and they're redeemed and they're ready to go. I am so glad to be here today. I enjoyed the song service. In fact, I started to pack my Bible up and just go on back to Sunday school. But I really do appreciate the song service. I appreciate each and every one of you today. You've been saved by the grace of God. Your life is not your own, the Apostle Paul said in one place. You've been redeemed with a special price. A price, my friend, that is beyond silver and gold, Peter said in one place. We're not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ Jesus today. And you know, if you have friends or loved ones or anyone like that that doesn't know the Lord, the time is growing short because he's coming back. He left, they watched him leave, and an angel said in one place, said, why gaze you up into the sky? Now, me, I just walk around with my head in the clouds anyway. But they were watching Jesus leave. And you know, the angel said unto them, this same Jesus, not another one, not a substitute. He's not going to send a proxy. He's not going to send the secretary of heaven down to say, y'all ready to go? No, it's going to be this same Jesus that ye have seen go in this manner shall come again in this life and in this manner. And you know, I'm just going to tell this. I read an interesting article by an individual that does geography for the land. And he said he did a survey of like the topography and everything, because that land has several caves in it outside of Jerusalem. And he said he looked and he examined and he ran tests and he measured the Mount of Olives, the olive where that Jesus went away. And he said, do you know? It says whenever that he comes back and he touches down, that it's going to split. And he said, there's a split already there waiting for him to touch down. Now, believe what you may about it, but I want to tell you something. When he comes, everybody's going to know about it. Everybody's going to see him as he is and not another. Well, my second sermon is out of the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. If you have your Bible with you, please turn there with me to the 19th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. written, chronicling everything that happened after that the kingdom split into two. Ten kingdoms or ten tribes up above north, and then there was Judah and Benjamin down to the south. And sometimes it gets a little bit tedious trying to figure out who the writer is speaking about, because both of the sagas are intertwined. But at this time, Israel up in Samaria had given itself wholly and completely to the worship of Baal, Molech, and Ashtoreth. And there were some that were still trying to remain true to God, but they, you know, they would honor God, but then they would just hightail it over to the temple of Baal and offer sacrifice there. God sent a man by the name of Elijah. I want to tell you something. God doesn't do things by accident. He appears upon the pages of God's Word as he comes into that land, and he begins to challenge them and to tell them and gather them together on Mount Carmel, and he says these words to them. He says, "Why halt ye between two opinions? If Baal be God, worship him. But if the Lord God be God, worship him." And so you know the remainder of the story, how that the sacrifice was laid out upon a broken down altar that he had built back up. And you know about how that the priests of Baal just jumped up and down and were calling on Baal, and they even slashed themselves, but Baal didn't answer. And even Elijah kind of made fun of them and said, "Why don't you cry louder? Maybe he's on a trip. Maybe Baal is sleeping." But then he began to pray, and he began to say, "Lord God, that the people might know that there is a God in Israel, and I am thy servant." God heard, and the fire came down. And I pray today that the fire will come down once again in our churches and in our places of worship. We're going to begin our reading lesson with the first verse. This is the after effect of what Elijah had done. First verse, 19th chapter, 1 Kings. And Ahab, that was the king at that time in Israel, not Judah, but in Israel. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how that he had slain all the prophets of Baal with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. That is Elijah. And he came to Beersheba, which is in that same area, kind of north of Judah, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. Now, maybe in your Bible it will say under a broom tree. That is the same type of tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And does this sound familiar? You probably heard it out of this pulpit or when we've sat down to meals together from your pastor. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than any of my fathers." And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, a cruse of water at his head. He did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time, and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat, that is, that substance, 40 days and 40 nights. Keep that number in mind. He went unto Mount Horeb. That is also Mount Sinai. He traveled about 200 and some miles, and he did it in 40 days and 40 nights. And he came hither into a cave there in Horeb. Now, I probably would have done the same thing. My wife says, I'm always looking for a cave whenever that we get bad news. But, you know, God's got this under control. I have to remind myself of it. And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, only I, am left, and they seek my life to take it. And he said, go forth. That is the Lord, said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains. That's the first. And break in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake was sent. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire, a still, small voice came to Elijah. And so it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? If correctly read, this includes the first down through the 13th verses of the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. I sometimes rarely go into the Old Testament, but I'm trying to ask the Lord to lead me into both, because you see, they are a whole. Even though they're divided up into Old and New Testament, they are still the inspired Word of God. And what they had happened to them and how that they encountered God in those days in the Old Testament is very similar to the New Testament and even unto us today. And I want to take for a text, if God would be my helper and allow me to speak for just a moment, the latter part of the 12th verse. After the fire, a small, still voice, or a still, small voice. God still speaks today. Whether that we realize it or not, God doesn't give a press conference at certain times and he gathers his people around. Now, you might look at the preacher preaching, delivering the Word of God as something like a press conference, but you know, God is speaking continually. You know, and we have so much that is going on around about us. All kinds of noise. The media, entertainment, pressure from work, anxiety, bad news. And there's always a constant distraction pulling us away from God. And you know, the old prophets were no different in that day and time. As you read about what Elijah did, he had some of the same thoughts. In fact, I don't know that I would have gone to Mount Sinai. I would have found a fast boat to Egypt or something if I knew that Jezebel was after me. But you know, he said that he stood at the mouth of the cave. And I did not bring it with me, but some time ago, my youngest son gave me a keffiyeh. It's like a wrap. And you've seen them on TV whenever that they are in the Middle East. It kind of keeps the sand out. And I was going to use that as an illustration about how that maybe Elijah had wrapped his face before that he went to face God. And you might say, why would he wrap his face if he's a prophet? Because God is a consuming fire. God put Moses in the cleft of a rock whenever that he passed by. And Moses didn't see necessarily God face to face. He only saw the back part of him. And I think whenever that we get to heaven, we're going to be able to see God. We're going to be able to look upon him. These vile bodies will change, be changed into the likeness of Christ's glorious body. And we will be able to see him and to witness him and to behold him in his glory. But we have constant distraction from hearing from God. God is speaking continually. And you know, whenever that he called Elijah aside, he didn't just like, you know, to give you an example, somebody over across the room, "Hey, guess what I heard about Aunt May? She's in the hospital." If it's something important, what they did, what they would do is go across the room, away from the crowd, and maybe kind of lean in a little bit to them. Not necessarily in the ear, but come close to them. And then whisper into their ear to make sure that they hear, what is being said. And it's the same way with God in this instance. God demonstrated today as he spoke to Elijah and appeared unto Elijah. He brought forth a wind that tore the mountains or tore the rocks apart. Then he sent an earthquake. Then he sent a fire. But God was not speaking to Elijah through that. What did he speak to him through? A still, small voice. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't speak in any other way. I'm not saying that God could not go ahead and just boom it right out. Sometimes I would like to see him do that and see the look on people's faces, even my face, as everybody is going to bow before him and give honor and glory unto the true and living God. But he doesn't compete with noise. He removes noise. He removes distractions. Even in this day and time when we have so many around us, Paul called it so many voices of dissimulation around us, in our ear, in our eyes, and it gets into our mind. But he quiets everything and then he speaks in a still, small voice. Now Elijah had seen fire come down from God. Can you imagine what that was like? No wonder that the children of Israel, whenever that they saw it, they began to quake and tremble, and they said to themselves, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." But we find that he doesn't always speak that way. He doesn't always get our attention that way. Now, things might happen where that we turn to God and he explains what it is that's going on. But as far as like what he was doing with Elijah, he pulled Elijah close to him. And can you see Elijah just all covered up and saying, "Speak, Lord, I'm not worthy to look upon your face. I'm not worthy to be in your presence." God spoke to him through that mantle, even though that it covered his face and it covered his very being. And he said, "You go and you anoint three for me that will finish what I have set forth to do to the kingdom that has gone into idolatry." And so we find today that he speaks many times in a still small voice. The Bible tells us over in Psalms 46 and 10, it said, "Be still and know that I am God." Have you ever gone out into a forest? I go out into the woods once in a while and I'll sit down, not listening to crickets, not listening to katydids, not listening to locusts, but I just sit down. And it's surprising how that God will come to you and how that God will overshadow the senses. And I'm not trying to be mystic or anything, but God desires to speak to each and every one of us. He desires to speak to the lost and tell them, Seek God while there is still time. Believe upon my Son, Jesus, and He'll save your soul. He wants to speak unto God's people and reassure them that He's got this all under control, that He is going to have His purposes and His ways play out according to His will, and that we are safe in His Son's blood, and no matter what happens to us. Now, I don't know. Maybe a terrorist will take over this country. I don't know. But God will have a plan ahead of time, and our duty is just to trust in Him with all of our heart. Now, whenever that we pray and we come before God, Jesus says over in Matthew 6 and 6, when thou prayest, enter in unto thy closet. Now, He didn't mean literally. Sometimes when I was a kid, I'd hide in the closet from mom and dad. Well, I didn't go to pray. Well, I might have prayed, Lord, don't let them find me. But then again, I still kind of do that. Whenever I hear Shirley's footsteps in the hallway, I'll duck in and the dog gives me away. But for each and every one of us, He wants us to get as far away from the deafening crowd as we can. And He says, and pray in secret. Pour it out to God. He knows already. He wants you to come before Him with even the smallest thing. Oh God, where's the key fob? Oh Lord, where's my keys? Oh Lord, where's the car? I'm walking through the parking lot and I can't find it. That's a small thing. But my friend, if we don't give Him the small things and put those before Him, are we going to take it upon ourselves trying to fix the big things? Whenever the tragedy trial comes into our life or the life of our loved ones, are we going to rely upon the God that has done great things for us with the small things? I don't know if you're getting all this, but I'm a little bit wound up from reading this and having looked at this and trying to put myself into the place of those people whenever that God did what He did. We find that the Bible tells us we're to draw nigh unto God. Get as close to Him as you can. He says in James, draw nigh unto God. And you know what will happen? Well, God's not going to turn to His secretary or His aide and say, tell him to make an appointment with me. I got another committee meeting over here. No, God is omniscient. He's omnipotent. I want to tell you something. There's nothing that God cannot do, and He does not know. And the mercy that He will show unto us, His children, we find that He said, draw nigh unto me, and God will draw nigh unto you. Amen. If that wasn't the case, my friend, none of us would be saved today. None of us. And there's no hope for the lost if God does not draw near and beckon with His Holy Spirit. That whisper today is so precious. And when God calls your name, don't tell Him to make an appointment with your secretary. Don't tell Him, well, Lord, what is it? Got about 5 minutes. What do you want? No. You give Him every bit of your undivided attention. I don't care, my friend, where it's at. When we lived in Tennessee, I used to stand in grocery lines. When I learned to do this, if God moved upon my heart, I would just stand there and just kind of motion people around me, and I'd pray. Now, I don't do it that much anymore because, yes, your preacher is sometimes afraid of public opinion. You know, whenever that we get to the place we don't care about what others think, and we say, I'm a Christian, I'm thankful for it, and I'm proud that God saved my soul. I mean, I'm humble that God saved my soul. But we find today that He whispers to us. He will lean into us, and we are to lean into Him. How do you know the voice of God? with all these voices around. You know, I don't take a lot of stock in those that say, well, I got a special revelation from God. You know, he told me that you can have more than one wife. I don't take stock in that. I really don't. And don't you do it either. My friend, God didn't set it up that way. One man, one woman. And I got a special relationship from God and message that it can be one man and one man and one woman and one woman. God didn't set it up that way. And I'm not condemning. I don't have an axe to grind with people. I want to see all people saved. I don't care if they're trans. I don't care if they're gay. I don't care today, my friend, if they're lesbian or whatever. I want to see people saved. Get them saved and God will take care of the rest. Amen? We give it to Him. He's the one that saved them. And we give it to Him today. But there are so many voices today, as the Bible says, of dissimulation. There's the voice of fear that comes to us. And sometimes we think it is God. And that voice of fear keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. We find that the Bible tells us that we are to trust in Him with all of our heart. There's a voice of doubt. I don't know if God can do it. Have you ever said that? I'm glad you didn't say yes. But today, there's the voice of doubt. Then there's the voice of the world culture. My friend, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Do you get what I'm saying today? We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Jesus was in the world, but He was not of the world today. And my friend, there's a prime example, but yet Jesus loved all people. And you can do that today, my friend. You can be in the world and love people, but you don't follow the culture the society's dictates, because many times that society, that culture will change and change and change. And you know, I believe it's a trick of Satan to try to pull us further away from center with God. Man, I was in school, and boy, I wanted to be so much like the world. I wanted to have my tie-dye shirt. I wanted to have my hippie beads. I wanted to have jeans. In fact, I had a pair of jeans, and when you look at them real close, they were little dyed portraits of people. One thing I wanted was an Avery jacket, and Dad wouldn't give it to me. He said, you're not the Beatles, so. But oh, I want to tell you something. The society and the culture in which that we live today, they will chew you up. They will chew up your children. Pray for your children. Pray that God will give them guidance. Pray today that God will encircle them. Pray for them that they'll put on the whole armor of God, but yet pray for them that they might be a witness unto those that are lost, and that they might have that love for lost sinners today. Now, He speaks today, and the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. God's voice is not the voice of, whoa, why don't you go ahead and get, now I'm not against fashion, don't get me wrong. But, whoa, why don't you go ahead and get that outfit? Man, every time I pass by a head shop, I was wanting to buy a Nehru jacket and hide it from Dad. But I want to tell you something. I'm glad I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't go any further in this culture, in this world, than what I did. Because I think that I might have gotten out of the reach of God. Gotten so far away that I wouldn't hear that still small voice speaking, Paul, come to me, Paul, come to me, Paul, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me, and I will give you rest. He speaks to us continually. But yet we have all these other voices around about us saying this, saying that. There's a new way to look at God. Some of them was a new God. And God's commandments have changed, and so we've got to keep up with everything that's going on. We've got to be current, and we've got to be in vogue and all of that. And there's nothing wrong, necessarily, up to a point. It has to be weighed against something. It has to be weighed against what God's will is, and even by His Word. We measure and we put it up and we see that if it's the standard that God would have us to follow in. The Bible tells us over in 1 Timothy, in the 3rd chapter and in the 16th verse, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This Scripture today is God-breathed. Did you know that? It came from the very heart of God. He breathed into the soul of prophets and of writers today His Word. They wrote it down. They began to copy it. And bless God today, His name, they were able for it to be kept all through these ages, even to come down to this present moment of time. And I want to tell you something. It's just as accurate today as it was when God first told a scribe to write down in the beginning God. It's still the same. And that's what we should weigh everything by. If God says it's wrong, it's still wrong. God doesn't change. Now, God's changed in the way that we approach unto Him. Thank God we don't have to sacrifice lambs, bullocks, and goats, and so on and so forth. Thanks be unto God, Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, was offered just one time for sin, and He'll never be offered again. And you know, I believe in being saved eternally. Do you? What? Kind of worried me there for a second. But I want to tell you, my friend, to kind of put it in a common way, once saved, always saved. Now, I know that sometimes people will say, well, you know, you all believe that, so you can just go out and sin and live like the devil. Let me tell you, there's two parts to that. Either they're backslidden, or they never got the real thing at all. Yeah. I want to tell you, when you get the real thing, and I want to tell you something. I've been chastised so many times by God, but you know, I loved every stripe. I loved every time He put His hand across my backside, spiritual backside, to correct me. Because, my friend, that's a sign. That's a sign today that a child of God. Now, maybe you don't get chastised by God. Maybe you have such a close walk with God that never happens to you. And glory be to God, I'm thankful for it. But we find today that by His Word, He guides us. Now, He guides us by His Spirit. He guides us by the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the Holy Spirit dwells within you? And my friend, someone, and you know, I'm so full of it, and you know that. I never understood when people would say, well, I hope the Spirit comes. I hope the Spirit falls. And I know what they're talking about. But you know, Jesus said that one time only the Holy Spirit was sent. And He illuminates His Word. That's why that I encourage people to read the Word of God. Because that's what God's Spirit will animate today. And my friend, if it were not so, my friend, we'd be in all kinds of problems. I heard of a service one time where a lady claimed that God spoke to her, the Spirit led her to stick a needle in the eye of somebody sitting behind her. Fact. Does that sound like the Spirit of God? No. It was just an inclination. That's why we are to weigh it against the Scriptures. And if it doesn't line up with what God's Word is, then beware of it today. Because even Satan himself can appear like an angel of light. And he can make things look so correct. And he can make things look just so needed today. We find that he speaks to us through conviction. Thank God for condemnation and conviction. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit will come, he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and of the judgment. My friend, it was always the Word of God and the fact that I was separated from God that got down into my soul, and I couldn't stand to be in church, and I wanted to go see the Packers play anyway. But my friend, I want to tell you, I'd walk out of that church house and here would come the Holy Spirit was already there. And he continually convicted me until one day in August of 1971, somehow I threw myself on the mercies of God and he saved me. I couldn't even explain it. I still can't explain it today. But my friend, I'm thankful for conviction. I'm thankful that God directs providence today. That is everything that happens. Now, some people don't believe this. That's fine. But I think everything is ordered by God. I do. You mean to tell me, preacher, that if you have a flat tire before... let me think of another one there. If you're to do something, God has ordained it. I believe so, in a way. And I believe in that he even gives us choices. And my friend, that's why it's good to listen to that still small voice. Be still, Psalm says, and know that I am God. Whenever that I'm still, and whenever that I hear and I feel the presence of God, I want to tell you something, that's the most humbling thing, and sometimes I just have to put my face to the floor and say, oh God, like the poor publican, oh God, you have been merciful to me, a sinner. So we find today that he speaks through all of these things. The question comes about, are we listening to what he has to say? You know, today, he is God, and beside him, there's none other. No other. My friend, he can do all things according to his purpose. But thanks be unto God, he has redeemed us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He has made a way for us to come in to the holiest of all, that thing that they sought for back in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. We can come into the very presence of Almighty God. And whenever that we follow the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us in one place, for as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I want to reassure you once again, God will never lead you to do something today that is contrary to his word. God also, in his voice, transforms us. Now, sometimes I'm spoken to and told to do this and to do that, and sometimes I remember it, sometimes I willingly forget it. But you know, today, whenever that God speaks, somebody's nodding their head. When God's voice speaks, we're transformed. We recognize him today. We recognize him that he's our Holy Father. He gives us direction. He gives us encouragement. He gives us hope today. He gives us a task. He gives us something that we are to do for him. It may be big, it may be small, but there's no big or small with Almighty God. He leadeth us. David said in one place, man after God's own heart, he said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He also said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And in that, he gives us peace. Peace, not as the world gives. Peace is not absence of conflict. It's not. It's what we're seeking for as a country, as a nation, as a people. But that's not peace. The peace that they need, that everybody needs today who is lost. Remember this? It's something to fill that God-sized hole that can't be filled with anything else. A peace that passes all understanding. Paul, and I'm going to close, Paul was once, as he traveled to Rome, in the midst of a storm called Euroclydon. You read it over in the book of Acts. And as they were in this storm, it had torn the main sails and all the rigging and everything like that, and they were just kind of being tossed about like that. But Paul had peace. God had spoken to him. God said, there'll be no loss of life on this ship, upon this journey. And he took that encouragement, and he encouraged others today. So as we close our few remarks, and I know I've gone over, but at any rate, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. And when he speaks, listen to what he has to say. You've had more scriptures that has been thrown at you, and you've read and everything. When he animates those scriptures with that, he'll give you direction in it. And my friend, you might say, well, what's this all about? We walk with God and all that. My friend, this is to encourage you to encourage others that may be in doubt, that may be fearful, that may be making that fateful decision about, do I go ahead and make this step and ruin the reputation of my family, me, and Almighty God? Maybe they're right on the very brink. And Satan will use everything. He'll make temptation, the sin that comes out of it, he'll make it look like, well, you're saved, nothing to it. But my friend, temptation leads unto sin, and sin leads unto death. And whenever that we give into that, it separates us from God. Now, we can get back in touch with him. We can get back in good graces with him. But my friend, don't take that step. Don't. You got friends, tell them to not take that step. God bless you is my prayer. Oh, yes. What did Elijah do? Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Hear the voice of God today. As he would speak unto your heart, he is speaking even today. He is giving out a prolonged, I don't know necessarily here, but he's giving out throughout this world a prolonged altar call. A prolonged altar call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly, and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's speaking to mankind today. He's speaking to those that are in the valley of decision. And my friend, one day, oh, I'm sorry, brother, one day, it's all going to come to an end. He'll step down from the mediatorial throne of grace, and that's it. It'll be an empty throne. There'll be no more coming before. There'll be no more rejecting the message, rejecting the opportunity. That's why we need to be burdened for the lost today. They don't realize how close to the brink of eternal destruction that they are. But thanks be unto God, he's got us to carry the message, to carry his voice, and do it with all grace and strength in God.